We're really just waiting for
Okay, we're recording, so
we do need some banter, but I think which was pretty satisfying.
Well,
I mean, no, it's all gay.
Oh, hi there. So nice to have you listening to our podcast. Welcome to Know It All with Tay and Kay. I'm Tay.
I'm Kay.
And tonight we're going to be talking about possibly one of the most important subjects to the both of us, and that would be current events.
Yes, a subject that's very relevant, that's very topical, that's very, it's around us at all times.
It's loud. It's sexy.
It's fresh.
It's ready to pop, and well, you know, I think we should just dive right into it.
Absolutely. Have you ever been sharing an incredible piece of news with a friend, and about halfway through the story, you realize that they're sitting there and they're listening very impatiently, I might add, because they're merely waiting for their turn to tell their story, and you can tell that they aren't listening, and it's not merely frustrating for the reasons mentioned, but because you know that their story is better,
newer,
fresher,
louder,
sexier,
hotter
than your own. And incredible agony of knowing that your story, by virtue of its age, is inferior to theirs.
No. No, I can't really say that I've ever felt that way.
Oh, really?
Yeah, but, but if I may, I do have a story of my own to tell.
Oh, by all means.
Well, stellar. You know, when I was about 13 years old, I was asked by my history teacher, Mr. Wilhelm, to come in and present a current event in class the next week. And I was an intelligent yet brash tween, and I, throwing caution to the wind, as I always did, rarely wrote down my homework assignments. You know, like a cavalier, you might say. And lo and behold, the week afterwards, a classmate of mine reminded me of the assignment, and I had entirely forgotten. Not knowing what to do, I just invented a current event. It was about a chemical spill in India, and I was keen. I had to be sure to make it far away, because I knew that everybody would know I was lying if I claimed that a tanker of liquid argon had overturned at Mike's Mini Mall and infected thousands of commuters with scabies. Mm.
The argonic curse.
Yeah, gross stuff. So I finished to thunderous applause, as usual, and Mr. Wilhelm asked me for the second part of the assignment.
And the
proof.
Where the pudding is.
Mm-hmm. So I was supposed to bring in a clipping, which I obviously didn't have, and I told him I would bring it the next day, and he agreed that this was satisfactory, but I didn't. And he never said anything about it, so I finished the semester with a solid B+.
You committed what they in the current events business call yellow journalism.
Mm-hmm.
You lied. In front of at least 2 dozen people.
Well, I mean, current events are hardly my forte. Here at Know It All with Tay and Kay, we're not exactly purveyors of current, recent, or, you know, even newfangled events. And sure, we filter the past through the zeitgeist, but we're not here to tell you about the top 10 baby seal videos of 2013.
It doesn't translate well to the podcast media.
We're more about the past.
We're history and science and literature and math and art and sports and culture, guys.
But what are current events? A current event, I think, is best defined as an event which not only happened recently, but is of such significance that its execution is a matter of public record. So, were I to bake a batch of my 2-time award-winning whiskey cornbread, that would not be a current event. Happens every day. You could spell it right now. But were I to bake a batch of my 2-time award-winning whiskey cornbread and ceremonially present it to a public figure, such as the mayor of New York City, that would be a current event.
People want to know about the mayor. Yeah. He or she is an important man.
And if this mayor perhaps choked on her cornbread, or worse, he didn't like it, that would itself be a current event. Current events, I feel, that they're like cells which reproduce asexually. Somehow, through scientific miracles, they just keep multiplying. It defies all logic. One day, there's a pie heist at a local bakery. The next day, 2 innocent podcasters are on the lam. And the next day, they're indicted for shipping perishable items through the postal service. It doesn't make sense.
But thankfully, they keep coming. I mean, they're entertaining. The world,
God love it,
is an exciting place. And thanks to the advances in technology, it's never been easier to keep abreast of the latest goings on.
Mm-mm. You know, we aren't so much much excited by the content of these events as we are by their delivery method, mm-hmm. or that they were brought to our attention in the first place. The more current the events, the more elated I am. It's really comforting knowing that I live in a stable society and that all the current events, wars, droughts, monsoons, CD release parties, everything dangerous happens far, far away from me.
What happens to a person who doesn't keep abreast of current events?
In the political world, this is called uncool.
Nothing's going to get you a bad seat in the House faster than telling a joke about the government shutdown when everyone is riffing on the debt ceiling. A
lot of elections lost that way.
Both McCain and Romney lost the election to Obama simply because Obama is more tech-savvy, and thus his events come more currently than the technologically sterile McCain and Romney.
Current events move faster than ever, but before the invention of the modern-day telegram, current events couldn't move faster than the speed of a horse. Current events, therefore, weren't particularly fresh. The city of Paris, for example, would have no idea that Napoleon's siege of Moscow ended in the obliteration of their army until literally months after he returned from the cold front of that hot war. Oversized hat in tiny, tiny hand.
I couldn't live in a world like that.
No.
It'd be so frustrating. Mm. The suspense of waiting for updates would literally kill me.
Oh, it could! It could, absolutely. Before telecommunication, the advent of the railroad, the delay of important information regarding, like, a contaminated delivery of beef brisket could put an entire town at risk for typhoid.
Humanity had to be resourceful in its attempts to keep the current events as fresh as possible. Mm. Town criers, smoke signals, and a myriad of other methods had to be employed in order to keep the events piping hot.
Mm.
This is why we say that something is hot off the presses. Smoke signals were very hot.
Mm, some people might argue that cave paintings qualify as the first recorded current events. But they'd be wrong.
They'd be wrong.
Although cave paintings often tell stories of events past, we've never really found a cave painting that recorded an event current.
The Egyptians, on the other hand, would famously have the walls of their death chambers covered with events of the week of the person's death. In fact, inside the pyramid of Khufu, there is a myriad of tweet-sized hieroglyphic clips from news clips from all walks of life. Some of them, when translated, are as grand as the discovery of a new stellar body to one in particular as mundane as Kaj lost her shoes.
Of course, we don't know Kaj, and we don't know her shoes. But for all we know, that could be an important event as shattering as the result of this year's Puppy Bowl.
Archaeologists,
God love them,
are just about the furthest thing from current event purveyors.
Yeah,
sure,
get it.
They present us with events which were once current, but by now they're long past, covered in the dust of history. Archaeologists dig up events which are so not current that their revelation is itself a current event.
Do you remember where you were when they opened King Tut's tomb?
Yes, I wasn't born.
Oh, that reminds me, your birthday is coming up.
Interesting.
You may say, TNK, archaeology provides us with a new context for the historical information through which we analyze our contemporary geopolitical landscape, and we would ignore you because I'm writing a response to BuzzFeed's list of the top 10 most beautiful colors of all time.
I wanted to see where all the news came from, and I couldn't help myself. We decided that in order to really experience a current event, we had to be live on the scene as it was happening.
So we clambered into our research van and headed out to the most current eventful locale in North America,
Sutley, Texas.
Sutley is home to one of the most active local newspapers in the country. For over 130 years, the Sutley Monitor and its 35-page police blotter has been the envy of editors, meriting editors' accolades from such media magnates as William Randolph Hearst and Rupert Murdoch.
Editor-in-chief and my personal hero, Marcus Flanch, started the paper when he was a mere boy, detailing his troublemaking father's criminal exploits and crude doodles.
Or crudles, as they're known in the news business.
From such humble beginnings, he grew into a micromagnate, following paddy wagons and horse-drawn fire trucks from crime scene to crime scene, dredging up the latest scoop from shaken arson victims and robbery suspects.
The Sutley Monitor now stands at the top of the local Gazette pyramid, employing a staff of over 25.
It's more than two dozen.
Writers, photographers, and fact-checkers. And sure enough, when we arrived in Sutley, we were immediately party to at least one.
Yes, current events happen to us over and over again, beginning with the unexpected acquisition of our wallets by strangers, and finally ending with the mysterious disappearance of the know-it-all research van's wheels and audiovisual equipment.
Unfortunately, because we got so, wrapped up in the current events that were unfolding around us, we didn't really have any records beyond hearsay from myself and Kevin. But trust us, it was a wild
lot of current events enthusiasts in Sutley.
So we rode our rims back to our native Frampton, and we were struck by an odd thought. You know, most of us are merely passive consumers of current events. We have no control over where or when they happen. I mean, sure, you can visit a town like Sutley and...
experience them for yourself.
Yeah, but you don't always have the time or the proper insurance to take a trip those days. There is, of course, one way around this. To create your own news. So we took it upon ourselves to make a little news flash of our own. If you'll indulge us for a moment, Kevin, please.
Yes, okay. Okay, from the... October 23rd edition, the Frampton Inquiring Register Bugle, page 5C. Three Pollocks missing from touring art expo. But wait, there's more.
That's right. We're in the paper twice. If you'll turn to the classified ads page, I think it's 11G.
Yep. Quote, for sale, three large canvases, poor condition, smattered with paint, salvageable wood, $15 or best offer. Don't worry about calling in advance. Just show up whenever.
Nice work, buddy.
On an unrelated note, if any of our loyal listeners out there know of or are an affordable and discreet attorney...
who's willing to do a twofer...
we'd be pleased as punch to meet him or her.
I've never encountered a female lawyer, but I'm sure he's out there somewhere.
Why is it that people want to know about current events?
Why?
I was asking you.
Oh, I thought you were asking the audience... who can't respond?
No. You.
I have no idea, but I'm dying to know the answer.
Well, me too. That's why I asked it.
Did you look it up?
Yeah.
And?
Nothing.
Fuck! You really got me wanting to know that one. All right, let's just go to a commercial.
That roller coaster was great!
It was!
Mind blowing!
It was!
Exhilarating!
Grim tumultus!
That's not a real word.
But it's the only word to properly describe my previous roller coaster experience.
What did you think of the haunted house?
Spurtfish.
And the Ferris wheel?
Murgy. Very murgy.
And this funnel cake?
This funnel cake is dingalope. It's pinfingalope. It's downright rickfliculously wingtingalope.
Oh, wow, where could I possibly go to learn firsthand some of these non-words you're saying at my face?
Why, Webster's Fictionary, of course. It's your number one stop for flurgish words of all bort.
Seems so clobvious.
Webster's Fictionary.
Now that I know.
Available out, blair, blaver, blooks, blurred.
So, you know, sometimes it appears to me that I literally eat current events. Like, whenever I go out to eat at the town diner, the waitress, as usual, skulks up to me, and before she even says hello, I always make sure to ask, what's fresh? And sighing, she will give me a list of whatever specials they have available that day, and regardless of what she says, no matter what I'm in the mood for, or what my diabetes limits me to eating, I get it, and I lick my plate clean.
You know, sometimes when you order a basket of onion rings, they come with a piece of newspaper in the basket. It's like a current event twofer.
I like my food like I like my news, hot and fresh.
You know, I worked in a restaurant for a considerable amount of time, and from what I gleaned while there, most of today's specials are composed of leftovers or food that's about to go bad. So that they don't have to throw it away. Soup of the day is usually that way, too.
Breaking news? Area man learns of heartbreaking restaurant betrayal.
Tweeted.
One of my favorite things about current events is they filter out the boring components of reality and give me the sweet juices that lie hidden away under its bridges and in its rest area bathrooms. If I didn't have my trusty smartphones and RSS feeds, I'd be so busy studying every nook and cranny of my house and peering into my neighbor's windows for scintillating occurrences that I'd never hear of things like...
BuzzFeed's Top 10 Whale Anti-Heroes Video Playlist goes viral, achieving 10 million views in 3 days?
You just can't get quality content like that in your quiet, stultifying, suburban culture desert. You won't hear that kind of newsflash by hanging out with drifters by the old abandoned mine trading cans of Burt's Brown sugar-baked beans for boxcar stories. You just can't.
Yeah, I mean, what's sexy about some old drifter?
Or loud! I had to ask him to speak up several times, in the same sentence even.
What was his name?
I think it was Mange, but it could have easily been Marge or Shane.
Maybe he was asking for change.
Like I said, vagrants are poor vehicles for dispensing current events.
But they create some great ones. This is from page 3 of the October 23rd, once again, edition of the Frampton Inquiring Register Bugle. 6 dead drifters wash up on southwest shore of Old Town Creek.
That creek runs through my backyard.
The drifters, who remain unidentified, appear to have perished of some type of foodborne illness. Found in their gunny sacks were a few half-empty cans of Burt's Brown Sugar Baked Beans. Local laboratories are testing the cans for botulism and encourage townsfolk...
That's you and me!
...to boil their drinking water until their reservoir is tested for contaminants. See? Current events are all around us. They're like atoms in the atmosphere, which float around on clouds of ether.
Ether, yeah.
Current events are constantly occurring, constantly combating one another in the hopes of getting noticed. My children, for instance, will demand that I pay attention to the things they have accomplished. Daddy, look at the picture of us I just drew. Little Robespierre will say, and I'll just look at him and say, no time, kid. I've got paintings to sell. Your current event will have to wait its turn.
Kids don't get current events. Mm-mm. Children live in a timeless bubble until about 14, before which they're surrounded by whatever toys are placed in their increasingly large and high-walled playpens, which is why it is so important to teach them the value of the news early and often.
Make your kids read the newspaper cover to cover every day. Even the classifieds, they need to learn the value of truth, the importance of good punctuation, and the value of a mahogany bed frame. Otherwise, they'll start simply making up current events in their head. There has to be proof.
A current event has to be published.
Or cried out, at least, by a town crier.
Early current events were distributed by orators, newsies, and town criers and rampant braggarts. These men and boys were sometimes the only link that their entire village had to the rest of the world.
They had to be charismatic, charming, and articulate to quiet the ruckus of a busy market square and win the hearts and ears of the people. This was a potential position of power.
One of the original town criers, Cicero, was so liked for his casual, inviting demeanor, witty rapport, and passion for truthful journalism that he charmed himself into the Roman Senate. He quickly went mad with power,
as is tradition,
made enemies with the wrong people, and was murdered. But until that point, he literally wrote the book on town crying.
Ciceroian journalism was the standard for about a century, and then Jesus came along, and he just changed the game forever. His reporting took a slightly different form, whereas town criers usually would find a crowded area, you know, a public space, a busy street, to busk on. Jesus would do it just about anywhere, at supper.
A mound, perhaps.
People would follow him to anywhere just to see what was up, because he also had the best and, well, best known informant in history. No, no, no. Not Deep Throat. But God, to whom he had a direct line.
He was so full of current events all the time that he didn't have to town cry. He could home mutter, and people would silence themselves and listen. Jesus was also supposedly very charismatic and sexy, which didn't hurt. So we had Christ journalism for about 1,500 years, which is studied and taught all around the world for obvious reasons and is required subject of study for anyone even thinking of joining the papacy.
So we had that for about 1,500 years until we hit periods like the Enlightenment and
the Renaissance. I was just about to bust into this one.
Oh, breaking. Local man has brilliant addition to podcast.
Chirp, chirp, baby. I'm tweeting it.
Thank you. Town crying, in the tradition of both Christ and Cicero, usually took the form of slightly elevated prose. Simple, declarative sentences that are usually designed to give out information in the most efficient way possible. But one man, or perhaps you might say one rogue, decided to change everything.
I know where you're going with this.
Of course. How could we ignore William Shakespeare? His writings are of enormous significance in the world of current events. Not only were his histories essentially living newspapers, but the characters in Shakespeare plays are declaring their feelings at all times, like living fountains of current events. He turned the act into an art form.
Whether they're raising their arms in supplication to God or weeping the bitter tears that come with a military defeat, Shakespeare's characters can't help but narrate what they're doing at all times. This wasn't merely a way to get his first Demeter properly or fill an onerous 3.5-hour minimum imposed on him by the crown. This literal manner of speaking was a tool for the actors, and as described in sonnets 12, 84, and 113, a suggested method of living which Shakespeare himself adhered to for over 4 decades.
You know, I think we're getting a bit excited. So, Kevin and I, it's going to take a minute.
Catch our breath.
And you can catch your breath by listening to this wonderful and informative commercial.
Taylor, I can't help but notice there's something different about you lately. You seem more focused, confident, passionate. It's inspiring and infectious, really.
Well, thank you.
What's your secret?
Oh, come on now.
Is it some sort of exotic mineral?
I shouldn't.
Or albino redwood sap.
Take it easy.
It's electric eel oil, isn't it?
Okay. Keep it down. It's actually much more obvious. It's my new scarf.
You mean that fashionable piece of fabric you've been wrapping around your... Of course!
Not only does it match all of my Dockers, but it keeps me warm and keeps my neck creamy and supple just the way I like it.
I've never worn a scarf before. I bet it's something.
Well, with a little bit of creativity and resourcefulness, you can turn just about anything into a scarf. In mere seconds, you can fashion your beach towel, bathroom carpet, shower curtain, bundle of socks, or even something as simple as your shirt.
Is that why you're...
Shirtless? Almost always.
Wow. Versatile, fashionable warmth with top quality neck preservation? Mm-hmm. It truly is the only garment I will ever need to wear.
Scarves. Cuddling you from head to toe, no matter where the weather may go. And we're back. So, Shakespeare.
Yeah, Shakespeare was way ahead of his time in that he understood that by declaring everything he thought and felt, he automatically would create new current events, as even fabricated news can become current events.
Really? Like what? Such as?
Well, let me ask you something. Do you remember the Maine?
Yeah, he asked us for change.
I'm talking about the USS Maine. Sunk off the coast of Havana in February 1898.
No, I never heard of it.
Well, the Maine was sent to Havana in order to defend Cuban revolutionaries from the Spanish crown. Suddenly, without any warning, the ship exploded into a million or more pieces. No one is sure how many pieces, and no one knows why it blew up. But one canny newspaper magnate saw things differently. William Randolph Hearst, a child prodigy whose victory in a rhyming crossword puzzle competition won him a seat on the New York Journal's editorial board, was a passionate patriot and a virulent foe of Spain. Always bedecked in a custom-made seersucker American flag suit, Hearst was the inspiration for Uncle Sam. As he later claimed in his 7-volume autobiography, The Best of Times, The Hearst of Times, Hearst, a mere lad of 10, witnessed firsthand the destruction of the U.S. Navy's 13th most powerful warship. Quote, "Wiping the ash and cinder from my star-spangled spectacles, I smelled the unmistakable stink of Spaniard. As the smelliest of the European mongrel races, there was no mistaking that particular odor, tinged with Moorish spices. Though my foes at Pulitzer Enterprises expressed feelings that perhaps Chinamen, Mix, or Dagos were to blame, I put forth to the editorial board that it was the scurrilous Spaniards who had perpetrated the deed."
End quote.
Hearst's newspaper went on to publish a litany of articles decrying Spain, infecting the United States with anti-Spanish fever. His rallying cry? Quote, "Remember the Maine, to hell with Spain," end quote. The clever boy's ploys paid off, and the New York Journal outsold its competitors 20-1. Hearst was on top of the world, and all over town, newsies could be heard crying.
Hearst heard it first. That's where it comes from.
Not only did New York Journal publish a series of articles based on entirely unverifiable information, but his competitor, Joseph Pulitzer, followed suit with the slogan,
I believe it was, "Blame for the Maine falls mainly on the Spain."
There was absolutely no evidence which could point blame directly at anyone, even Spain. But in this particular case, rage trumped reason, and on April 25th of that year, the United States and Spain officially engaged in war, creating a series of current events, which lasted for months.
And if you update your MySpace page with the link to our podcast, Hearst's fabrications, now called yellow journalism, will have been making current events for over a century.
Some people are disgusted. Mm-hmm. By the preponderance of information lambasting them at all times from their handheld electronics. But I say bring it on. The more the merrier.
But it wasn't always so convenient, you know, so tempting. No. There was a time when the most eventful thing that could happen in your vicinity was the demise of a local beast or a very hot day. And since you lived in a pre-literate society, instead of updating your blog or sending out a mass text, you had to literally paint a crudle on the wall of your cave, like a toddler.
However, today, with our super sophisticated technology and highly evolved brains, we have the capability, no, the responsibility, to know what is happening at all times.
Well, that brings up a really good question, Kevin.
What is it?
What is going on literally right now?
Well, let me check my phone real quick. Oh. Did I show you my new wallpaper?
No.
I'll check it out.
Nice. Is that Bitsy?
Eating cereal.
So cute.
So cute.
Oh, can I take a picture of you and me with that picture in the picture?
Yes.
Awesome. Hold on.
Okay, I'll hang on, let me get over there.
Yeah, yeah. Flip.
Hang on a sec.
There we go. I'll hold up to the camera.
Okay, give me a sec.
Okay. Ready? And tweet it.
Obvi!
Okay, do you ever put the wrong password in like 4 times in a row?
Totally.
The worst.
Totally.
Do you have a charger? My phone is almost out.
I've always got one on me. Yeah. Here we go.
Oh, thank you.
There's an outlet right behind you.
Oh, thanks.
This just in. Picture tweeted.
I just love this new technology. It makes my life so much better.
Did you get the Facebook update? The update for your app, the Facebook app?
No, I didn't.
I just don't know how I feel about the new layout. I think it's a bit.
I am a big fan of the early layout. I think it's just much more attractive. It made the events come a little bit.
Oh, are you talking? Are you talking 2.1.3?
Yeah, 2.1.3. Oh my god! Yeah, it was just before it became its own sort of version of
2.1.3.
Yeah, it was 2.1.3. It was when it was still blue. When the logo was still blue, it was really good looking stuff.
Yeah, I don't know how
I think its integration with BuzzFeed is just a bit ham-fisted and doesn't really work.
Ham-fisted, that's definitely it. That's the word. Hang on a sec.
Who's that?
It's mine.
That's you.
And it looks like I got in a text from our producer, Logan, saying, wrap it up.
You know, I think the reason he's telling us that is because that's everything. We've covered it.
This just in. Podcasters do an amazing job discussing current events.
Tweeted.
Taylor, I have got some listener mail for you.
All right.
This is a really special one. We actually got a few letters this week, and I had to choose which one I thought was the best. So
lucky you, whoever this is.
Yeah, so this is from Julia from Newington, Connecticut.
Hello, Julia.
It says, Dear Tay and Kay, I just listened to your chess podcast and was enlightened to the fact that chess becomes harder to play the older you get. I would assume it would probably work the other way. Anyway, I have a 5-month-old baby named Kara. I attached a picture. Did you see the picture? She's darling.
Look at those cheeks.
I was thinking of starting to teach her to play chess so she can have a head start in life. Am I jumping the gun? I need to know. Julia.
Julia, I want you to sit down. And if you're standing up, sit down, stand up, and sit down again. Julia, take a look at yourself. Take a look at your infant. You have a 5-month-old child, Julia. 5 months old. And you're thinking of exposing her. Did you listen to our podcast? You know what happens when you play chess. And you're thinking of submitting her to that? A 5-month-old. Julia, we have your address from the letter you sent us. We have your email address, which for some reason you wrote down on your letter. We also have your phone number. Julia, Kevin and I are going to come to your house in 5 months, and if we see a chessboard, chess acumen in your child, or anything checked in your house, period, we will call social services, and so help me God, your child will be taken away, put in better care by a real adult who knows how to take care of a child.
I don't think I could have said it better myself.
Thank you so much for listening to our podcast. It means so much to me that you listened to it this time. You've been listening to Know It All's Tay and Kay. I'm Tay.
I'm Kay.
J. join us next week when we talk about sarcasm.
This episode of Know It All with Day and Kay was brought to you by Shovels.